Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful and accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Rachel Myers.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Bible Williams. And today is week three of our three-week series entitled A Living Hope. And today we are welcoming, for the first time, Lori Wilhite to the podcast. Lori serves alongside her husband, Judd, at Central Church in Las Vegas. She is also the founder of Leading and Loving It, which exists to equip and encourage women in leadership to love life and ministry. She's the author of several books and Bible studies, including a new one that's coming out in July on Philippians. You'll hear us mention that a couple of times. This whole series has been such an encouragement to our hearts, and we trust it has been for you too. You have told us as much, and so we are just thankful for what the Lord is showing us in His Word, and I think this episode will be no exception. It's going to bless you guys, so let's get right to it.
Okay, Lori, I was reading your bio before we started, and there is like, it's the first sentence that just made me feel like, oh my word, I've got to know more. So I'm reading it. It says that you serve alongside your husband, Judd, who is the senior pastor at Central Church in Las Vegas, which is currently more than 23 locations nationally and internationally, including 12 locations inside of prisons around the country. And like, I know that we're supposed to get to all the other things, but I'm reading that and I'm just going like, I want to hear from you like immediately if the conversation that we're having in this Living Hope series is about like what does the resurrected life mean? Like, what does the resurrection mean for us now and for eternity? Like, what are you seeing in these churches nationally, internationally, in prisons? Like, what does it look like to live the resurrected life in a prison?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, isn't it? One of the joys of getting to be in probably like what people might consider the least likely city to do church and ministry is we really do get to see God move in crazy, amazing, powerful ways in people's lives. As people get out of our prison campuses, they come to church first, and it's just such a joy to get to see how God has just absolutely turned someone's life upside down in the best possible way, someone that has really just lived at the bottom of themselves. Mm-hmm. And to be have God just come in and lift them up is just such a beautiful thing to watch. So it's kind of like the most fun ministry ever to get to sit on the front seat of the least likely people in Sin City and the least likely that He lets us minister to kind of around the world. And so it's just a blast, really. It's a joy.
I love that. Mm.
Well, we are in, this is week three of the series that we're in. And like Rachel said, I mean, it's just about the resurrected life. It's called A Living Hope. Mm-hmm. And it is about Jesus' resurrection. And we looked at like what happened from Jesus' resurrection to His ascension. And then just like spending last week and this week looking to Scripture to see what does that mean for us? Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, it is certainly enough to turn a life inside out, upside down. And it is the definition of changes everything. Like, the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. And so you catch us here, Lori, at the end of this series, in these last 5 days of reading, with some really rich scriptures, and most of them from the New Testament, which you are a Bible student and a Bible teacher, and you've been spending some time specifically in Paul's letters, right?
Right. I sure have. And so I obviously was so excited because I do have been swimming in the letters of Paul the last few years. And so, you know, he just brings so beautifully to light the power of the resurrection in our lives. And so, I mean, it is a powerful 5 days of reading, no doubt about it.
Really is.
It has been a powerful study for sure.
It's funny, as I prepared for this week, and just kind of reading the scriptures, it was the kind of powerful reading that you talk about, Lori. Like, I couldn't keep it to myself. Like, I would, like, read a section and then text it to a friend. Like, I literally, like, leading all the way up to come in here to record, I was, like, texting people I love, like, here's what's true. Here's what's true. Like, it's something you cannot keep to yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should dive in because even just right here at the jump on today's reading in Colossians 3, I love that it starts with like, so if, literally chapter 3, verse 1, so if you have been raised with Christ, so Paul's been like laying this groundwork, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been, over last week, read a lot of this and laid that groundwork of like, so if we've been raised with Christ, which we have, we agree we have, right? If we're hidden in him, seek the things above where Christ is. So if we're asking that question, because, you know, with Easter being 2 weeks ago now, and we're like, okay, Jesus, he is risen indeed. What does that mean for us now? What does that mean for us for eternity? And also, like, where is he? He's alive. Where is he? And so Paul's reminding us of the answer to that question too. Like, seek things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. We talked about that last week. Like, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so there's a lot of like already and not yet language in here. But that, you know, there was a death to self here and to sin, death to sin that happens so that the resurrection to new life and to righteousness, life and righteousness in Christ, can happen. How much of a deep dive have you done in Colossians? I'm so fascinated.
Not as deep as Ephesians and Philippians. But I will say, you know, one of the great things about those letters is you see like reoccurring themes that Paul obviously had so heavily on his heart. And they pop up in different things. We even see that in today's reading as almost like a very similar thing pops up in Ephesians as we see here in Colossians. And like when I read, starting in even just the very next verses after what you were talking about. And it's really about putting on the new self and taking off all the old.
That's
and
right.
I think about like even getting ready to chat with you guys in a chat that's only going to be audio. How many times I changed my clothes before I showed up. And now on the floor of my closet is littered all my rejected sweaters and
that
all my
do.
Things because it wasn't a good look for an audio podcast. But I like
okay,
I just
that.
Kept taking off all these things. Not a good look, not a good look. And how much more so in our lives, I've put on plenty of things, not physically, but in my life that have been not a good look. Anger, not a good look. Forgiveness, not a good look. And so the power of taking that off and then putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, all the things that Paul's referring to here. And then he refers to this almost very similar thing in this Ephesians passage that we have here too. Putting on the new self is such a really, not just beautiful image, but it's really powerful just to think about that continual setting aside of the old and the putting on of the new. It's beautiful.
We were talking last week with Rebecca Lyons about like the language is almost violent, like put to death these things. Like it's not like try and like find some restoration. And like there are things that must be put to death. It is not up to you to resurrect these things, to redeem these things, to restore these things. Like Christ will work his redemption power in you as you put to death. Like, what does Paul say here? Put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. It's not like, hey, slow that down.
Yeah, it's very
active. It's violent.
Well, it's very active language. Okay. Like, put to death, put away, put off.
Yeah.
And then put on the new self. And then, to what you were pointing to, like, then put on love above all. Put on love.
Yeah.
And I love this as we keep going in verse 14. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
That's right.
And let the peace of Christ... To which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. And, you know, we talked last week about the gift of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is in us. And so, like, I love this, like, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart or rule your hearts.
Yeah.
Like, it's already, the Holy Spirit has already been given to us. And so let that peace actually rule. Mm-hmm. Like, it's present. Mm-hmm. So, like,
and it's in that order. Like, it can't rule until we have put off. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I think what one of the things that's really beautiful in this passage, too, is this call, how Paul calls us God's chosen ones in verse 12. It's such a beautiful description. Yeah, it's one of those words that, like, could lead us to, I don't know, theological battle or something. But instead, I think the truth is it needs to lead us to just our knees in gratitude. And when we fully can embrace and understand our chosenness, then it does change everything in our lives. When I was like a junior in high school, I met an aunt that I didn't know I had, that my grandparents had had and placed for adoption. And she could have grown up, I think, maybe feeling unloved, whatever, but she actually pictured her adoptive parents walking through like a factory of babies, and they had locked eyes with her and chosen her. And she used to tell the kids who made fun of her on the playground, "Your parents were stuck with you, but my parents chose me." And it shifted the way she viewed herself and her life. And when we talk about taking off the old self and putting on the new and putting on all of these beautiful things that frankly can be really challenging. But when we do it in light of the knowledge that we're chosen by God and let that shift our view, not just of ourselves, but of our relationship with Christ, then it becomes, maybe it doesn't become easy, but it definitely becomes motivating and exciting to make that exchange to then put on all these amazing things that God has for us.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost, I felt as we were reading through that the Monday reading almost felt like a continuation of last week where we were talking about, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit and walking by the Spirit, and then this, like, setting your mind on things above and seeking things above. But then it kind of ties over to, you know, the kingdom of God in Tuesday's reading where we're talking about, okay, so what does it look like if our identity is in Christ and in his resurrection? Then what is the identity of the kingdom that Christ is Lord of God's kingdom?
Yeah.
And we get to read the Beatitudes. We get to read from the Sermon on the Mount.
Which all that good, upside down kingdom. Like, I even love, like, there's a, in the study books, y'all, there's the day title, but then there's, you know, typically a verse underneath that. And it's so upside down, even the verses, you know. The verse from Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Like, all of these passages, I know that we've been reading the narrative of the resurrection through the ascension, and this takes us back to Jesus' ministry. But it's that seeing of, like, okay, Jesus said that this was going to happen, and he was preparing us all throughout his ministry for what would happen after everything did take place. So let's go back. What was he telling us it would be like? What should the kingdom of God look like? And now we are joining the church for centuries and going, like, all right, show us what it means. What have you been telling us all along?
Yeah. And so much of it is paradoxes, right? Like, these things that are juxtaposed or paired that shouldn't be, like, logically speaking. So you've got, even in the Beatitudes, you've got those who mourn are comforted. Those who are humble are, like, have the biggest inheritance. Those who are hungry are filled. Those who are merciful receive mercy. Like, it's these things. Yeah, and so just these things that shouldn't go together.
Yeah, it's the, like, I mean, just like a couple verses earlier from what I read, that verse 26, "On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even the juxtaposition of the word blessed, like, I love the Beatitudes. You know, that word blessed really means happy or perfectly happy Paul actually uses that word in 1 Timothy to talk about God, calling him the blessed ruler. And it's like he's calling him the perfectly happy ruler. Mm. And then when you look at it in this context, happy are the poor in spirit. You've got that flipped upside down way of things. Like, how That's can good. That be happy? How can those who are happy mourn? How can those who are happy be humble? And I think as I have been, you know, years ago, probably 15 years ago, I went through a couple of years of depression and really struggled. And when I came out of that, that became my story of the next over a decade. Like, God had saved me from that. God rescued me from that. That was a thing of the past. And then about a year ago, the lights turned back off in my life and I couldn't believe it. And I was just trying to fight my way back out of that darkness. And so I would hit my Bible and I would circle every word, glad, joy, happy, blessed, like any word that was in there anywhere, and cling to it. And it was in spaces like the Beatitudes that we see here, or in Philippians, where I really discovered that the happiness that even I had been chasing subconsciously was just a path to emptiness. But what God, the path to happiness for him is so different. He's so different. And because he's the perfectly happy God, he actually does know, I think, the way to happiness. So we can trust him, but it's so different than what we anticipate. And I heard somebody say God cares more about our holiness than our happiness. And like the two are somehow disconnected. But I think the Beatitudes right here show us, and we see it in Philippians, that actually they work in tangent with each other. And as we chase the things of God, humility and mercy and peacemaking, then that is where we actually discover happiness. And so it's a beautiful juxtaposition that we see here, but lived out, you find to be so true.
Yeah. Okay. So your book that comes out in July of this year is called Chasing Happy on the book of Philippians, right?
Right, right.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm already getting like a little taste of this. This is going to be awesome.
Well, I love on Tuesday's reading where we go kind of from the Beatitudes and that part of the Sermon on the Mount into Philippians 2. And, you know, these passages we're familiar with, but reading them in light of like, what does the resurrected life look like? Like life in Jesus, what does it look like? And Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves, which is very counter what the world tells us will make us happy, right? And then verse 4, everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others.
That is not what culture tells
us. Right. But you know what that looks like? That looks like Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
right. You know, and it keeps going, you know, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. So I think there's a connection there too, because I think in my, you know, 2023 lens, I would read verse 4 of like, you know, everyone should look not to his own happiness, you know, because I think that's what we're trained to do. But but Jesus.
That word conceit can be translated empty glory. And I think that's such a really powerful way to look at it. When we're chasing our own ambition, when we're looking to ourselves and our interests and our happiness or whatever, more than interest, it does lead to empty glory. That's the bottom line. But when we take on the attitude of Christ, the humility of Christ, then all of a sudden that empty glory becomes God's glory, which is so much more powerful in our lives.
And then verse 5 leads us into verse 6. Verse 5 says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When you think about that, he emptied himself. I don't like to empty myself. That is not a pleasant thing to do or think about. In fact, I think that like not just the world, but even some well-meaning, you know, believers will say, you know, like careful not to empty yourself, but this is a type of emptying. This is a pouring out that Christ did that I think that it says adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And I don't actually know the full answer to that or like what is the right
approach to that. Like, yeah, what does it right mean that Jesus that? Emptied himself? There are a lot of...
I don't have a like, and so obviously this is how, but I read that and I just like, I want to ask the Spirit, if you're telling me through your word to adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, and this is what you're describing immediately following that, like how can I be more like Jesus? Like how can I do that? And I think this is just where it's important for us to be students of Scripture, like for us to be asking those questions and to be reformed by Scripture and to be surely students of each other as well, but to come back here and go, okay, what am I learning?
Yeah, because some of the answer to the question you're asking is right there, assuming the form of a servant, you know, and humbling himself to becoming obedient. Mm-hmm. Like some of those things... It's just like the drumbeat that is part of the kingdom.
I'm not good at this. I think what I'm trying to say is that I am great at boundaries. I'm great at, you know, making time for self-care, sure. Yeah. But I am not great at these things here.
Yeah, it's hard.
I love that it says in verse 8 that he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Because I do think that is a huge part of humility. It's just that submission to the Holy Spirit. Because let's be real, there are some times where you know the Holy Spirit's pressing on you and you're like, nah, I don't want to. I'd rather not today. Mm-hmm. Or you just feel that tug and you just resist. But part of humility and taking on the mindset of Christ is being under submission to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to him. And it's a great challenge for me in my life and in my interactions with people. Just to stay submissive, to stay with an opening ear toward him, and then to follow through with what he's asked me to do.
That's right. That's right. One of the big questions that we're asking last week and this week in this series is, okay, if we believe, and we do, spoiler, that Jesus is indeed raised from the dead, we're asking, what does this mean for us now? And what does this mean for us in eternity? And we're asking Scripture to answer these questions. And so, like, as I turn the page to Wednesday of this week, day 17, the title of the day is Our Future Hope. And we read in John 14, the way to the Father. Lord, will you read that section for us, verses 1 through 6? Because, like, this is our future hope.
I thought you said Lord. Oh, Lord, would you
Lord,
read?
Would you read? Yes.
We've never asked the Lord to
Dear
read.
Lord, listen.
Lori. Lori, will you read?
Well, I bet he'll allow me to read this to you. All right.
A royal priesthood.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Okay. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
The I will come again. That's what it means for eternity. And I am the way.
Yeah. I love Thomas in this moment so much. Like,
wait a minute.
Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And I love this of like Jesus is saying, I am the way. And sometimes I think as believers, this is one of those, I am the way, the truth, and the life can become one of those statements of Scripture that we allow to get a little twisted to where we will apologize for it. And I'm just speaking from personal experience and in the past. And no, this is hope. This is rightly,
That's rightly
on the page
and
listed.
I am available.
Right. It's like, I am the way and you can come.
Good news. You're invited.
That's right.
Yeah.
First of all, I am the way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a way.
Yeah.
That's the first hallelujah. Mm-hmm. There is a way.
Amen, Amanda.
I am it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you are invited.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing for us to apologize to the world. Like that is good news.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we talk about that like the gospel is the most inclusive thing in the world and also the most exclusive because it is for everybody and there is one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way you just unpack that. And then we go into 1 Thessalonians, which I don't know, like I have this page so deeply marked up. And then, if we're continuing to ask, you know, okay, what does it mean for us now and for us in eternity? And I look at 2 Corinthians 4, and like it starts with a real strong for us now and ends with for us then. I'm going to read that to you just because here we are reading scripture on the She Reads Truth podcast. Let's go. Starting in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, the heading for this section is called Treasure in Clay Jars. It says, now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. It goes on and says, so then death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. That's a little confusing, but then it says, for we know. And this is the for then, this is the for eternity. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory, so that we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Woo! That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There's our, what does this mean now? And what does this mean for eternity? If you're wondering what the resurrection means, like read 2 Corinthians 4.
Whew! Really powerful stuff. And I love that he says, our momentary light affliction. After he's just said, our outer person is being destroyed, we are afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, like doesn't feel like light affliction. It feels pretty significant. But it's how this verse ends, in light of the eternal. Yes, it's momentary light affliction.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Dr. Tara Jenkins, who when she talks about verse 8, she says, you know, it's really important where we keep our butts. And even in the affliction that we have, but we're not crushed. And we're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, and struck down, but not destroyed. And it's all of those buts that really point to the power and the eternal that is offered to us in Christ.
Hey friends, taking a quick break to talk Mother's Day. Our team has curated a special Mother's Day collection in the She Reads Truth shop of our favorite reading plans to study with your mom or any special woman in your life. Some of those plans are Women and Men in the Word, our John study book, our Acts study book, our One Another study. Do you guys remember that one? It's so good. And so many others to choose from. And so today, April 24th through Sunday the 30th, you can buy any study book from our curated Mother's Day collection and get 25% off the second book so that you can keep one and then gift the other one. Perfect for Mother's Day. Use the code FORMOM, that's FORMOM, in our online shop at checkout. And if you want to receive it by Mother's Day, you're going to want to order by April 30th with standard shipping. All right, head to shopshereadstruth.com/mom, M-O-M, right now to shop for your Mother's Day gifts and use code FORMOM at checkout.
Hey friends, pressing pause really quickly on this conversation with Lori to tell you about our newest upcoming study, beginning May 22nd, we're going to be opening the book of Amos together as a community. Now, of course, Amanda and I will be podcasting our way through this book, but you're not going to want to miss having a physical or digital study book with you as you go. And as you guys know, study books, that's where all of the scripture is printed right there in the book, not to mention all the extras that you can't get anywhere else. You're going to get the tips for reading Old Testament prophets. You're going to get reflection prompts, note-taking space. It's really the space that you can explore and experience the whole She Reads True study all in one spot. And it's just such a great companion for listening to the podcast. Okay, books can be purchased at shopshereadstruth.com. And while you're there, consider getting a he and she bundle, which is such a great way to study scripture together as a couple. Also, if you want, grab a 12-card set. Those are such a nice thing to set out in your house, to memorize scripture, to hand to a friend. They're gorgeous, and they just keep you remembering to be a woman in the Word of God every day. Or you can grab a digital study book, which is page for page the same as a physical study book, just digital. So you get it immediately and you have it on your iPad or your phone or whatever you need. So plan to join us in the book of Amos beginning May 22nd as we explore together as a community God's heart for righteousness and justice. Head to shopshereadstruth.com/Amos, A-M-O-S, now to shop the entire collection. That is shopshereadstruth.com/Amos. Okay, back to the show.
I know as we all read these passages that there are people that come to our mind, mm-hmm. there are personal experiences that come to our minds, and some of those, usually for me, I think of like either really heavy things that I've been through or heavy things that I know that others are in, especially friends that are in seasons that just don't seem to end, just seasons of chronic illness, chronic pain and suffering. And also this time around, I thought about aging, and I don't normally, I think this is a product of my age. Lori, you and I were talking about reading glasses before we hit record.
Yes, we were.
And I thought, you know what? Like, how beautiful, because of course, you know, of course I didn't think about that as much in my 30s or my 20s. But, you know, now when I read, therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed, like my outer person is not getting any younger, you guys. But my inner person is being renewed day by day. And right. So even on that level, of the personal level of like, we're going to continue to live some life and it's going to keep showing up on our person, on our outside. But inside, y'all, we are being renewed.
That's good.
And a lot of times it's those experiences of affliction that the Lord uses as opportunity to renew us in even deeper ways than times of contentment or happiness could manifest. So, whoosh.
So good.
It is. It's really rich. These passages, one of the challenges for me with these passages is to not just sit. And it is appropriate to sit.
Yeah.
To sit in them. And sometimes, you know, you have time in your day to do that. And sometimes you keep going. But it really, these are Paul's letters. And goodness, I'm sure this has been your world as you've been writing these studies, Lori, that in these letters, it's like every word, there's so much weight that hangs on every word. Yeah.
That's right. You're right about the richness of these scriptures. Like even when I was reading through this week's stuff, I got through it the first time and thought, I gotta go again. I think I probably read it four or five times. And I think some of the beauty of how this week's study is pulled together with all of these verses from across the Bible pulled in together, it just brings such a new way of looking at it. Yeah, I had to do more than sit in it. I had to revisit and go one more time.
There you go.
Because there's just so much here.
I feel like the response is either like, I got to sit in this longer, or I have to revisit this, or I got to tell somebody about this.
Yes.
Or I got to go do a lap. Sometimes we have to get up and like, just like, whew, like I need to move my body in like worship for like what I'm reading. The other thing that I have appreciated so much about this particular series is that every week we have had like a theologically rich extra in the study book. you know, that we've talked about our resurrected bodies and what scripture says about those. What are our like scriptural assurances of the gospel last week? And then this week, if you have your study book starting on page 93, there's like a multi-spread series that is called Hope Even in Death.
It's so strong.
Oh, my goodness. Another like, I can't keep this to myself. I mean, it goes all the way down with like printed out scripture proofs of like God has authority and power over life and death, number one. Number two, God can bypass natural death and can resurrect the dead. Number three, there is hope for both spiritual and bodily rescue from death. Here's what scripture says about that. And all the way down, four, five, six. It's so good. Mm-hmm. If y'all don't have a study book, just like go get the digital one so that you can like see it today, because these are...
It's so good. Four, right where you stopped.
Yeah.
Christ is the fulfillment and the image of our resurrection hope.
Yeah, why did I stop? Sorry.
I don't know. I feel like that's one of the ones that the study has really been like digging into my heart.
Mm-hmm. And then five is Christ is with us in both life and death. And then number six, death will be defeated once and for all. We talked about the difference between defeated and like almost like even better, scripture says like abolished last week in our episode.
Which is the defeated once and for all.
Once and for all. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. On to Thursday of this week. I feel like all of my notes were so on the back end of this week because I just like.
I know why.
It gets. Just
it's
like,
because of the gardening, it
is,
Rachel.
Yeah, it is.
Rachel's been obsessed with gardening recently, Lori. And so
it comes out in the podcast.
Every podcast episode, it comes out. But
oh, look, I have a little plant drawn.
I literally wrote in the margin, gardening.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Mm-hmm, here we are. Yeah. So we get to Thursday, the nature of the resurrection body. And we talked about this a little bit because, you know, I just mentioned that scripture roundup in week one about the resurrection body. So we talked about these things, but goodness sakes, the thing that stuck out to me, and Lori, I want to hear what you're seeing here too, but there was one little bit in here, starting in verse like kind of 42, 43 of 1 Corinthians 15. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Mm-hmm. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Mm-hmm. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Whoosh. These passages are so stinking full of hope for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Just going to take a minute here.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, what are y'all seeing here in 1 Corinthians 15? It's kind of the back half of this whole resurrection chapter.
When I was younger, I don't think I was maybe as excited and anticipated kind of the resurrected body like I do now in my, I have been through some things, life.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Where I probably read this, you know, as a younger person and thought, that's great. And now read it and think, thank God. Mm-hmm. Like, what a difference in life experience and some pain that we all go through. And I don't know about you guys. I'm not a gardener, but I am a faller. I am a faller. And so I have broken a lot of parts
of my
body.
Tell me what that means. Oh, okay.
You guys strike me as like graceful kind of people. I'm not at all in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, and Lori, so,
we've got her fooled.
Keep in mind we're seated right now.
So I have broken myself from literally my feet to my head. And it's fine. It makes for really good teaching illustrations. But it isn't just my body that has hurt. I've been heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I've been like soul weary and just had just like a broken spirit. And so to read these last couple of days of this, to not just be excited about, yes, being raised in incorruption and in glory and in power, like that is so exciting. But then to also fast forward to the other verses that really address the no more tears, no more pain, to have both of those come together. It's not only hopeful and encouraging, but it is extremely healing to the soul and gives you such a different perspective as we look forward to eternity with Christ.
Yeah, yeah, it does. 2 Corinthians 5, our future after death, verse 1 says, For we know that if our earthly tent we live in, I love that imagery.
A tent.
Our earthly tent.
Because it just implies such like temporary.
Just flimsy.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know.
Y'all have no idea how flimsy you actually are.
It does the job, right? And not to diminish God's creation.
No.
It's absurd. The human body is truly amazing.
And yet, but a seed of our resurrection bodies.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For we know that if our earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this tent. I mean, how true is this?
Yeah.
We groan in this tent, desiring to put on our heavenly dwelling, since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. I mean, how many of you hear like a Genesis 3 undoing there?
Absolutely.
You know, like, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. Mm. It just keeps going. And so, we are always confident. And know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And you read that, and I just think of all the people that I know who are no longer walking by faith, but are now walking by sight.
Yeah.
You know, right. I thought this time around, I thought of my sister-in-law. I'm like, she is walking by sight right now. Mm. That is insane to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it's so much. It just keeps going. Should I keep going?
Yes, keep going. It's so good.
In fact, we are confident. And to be honest, I want to like put paraphrases
I
in
love
here.
This
like
confession.
And we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. There are times when that is absolutely true, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Mm-hmm. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And therefore, again, since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people what we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your consciences. There's just this, like, Paul is starting to string together the beads, right, like the gospel and the logic. They're like, okay.
If we've accomplished, then we agree on this.
Right.
Yeah.
And just putting it all together. And I'll be honest, too, like, I appreciated the authority with which he confirmed our human experience. Mm-hmm. Like, indeed, we groan in this tent and burdened as we are. Like, that is not new. Mm-hmm. You know, that was true for Paul and his contemporaries. That is the human experience.
That at home and away language is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're at home in the body, then we're away from the Lord. And they're like, all right, but while we are at home in the body, like, how do we walk with the Lord? How do we glorify the Lord?
Yeah, we get some good Philippians in this day too, don't we, Lori? Our citizenship
yes,
is in heaven.
That's our real home. I love that. Yeah. Read that for us, Lori.
Oh, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. And if you just like pop up like a few verses from this section of scripture, Paul also says something like, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection. Like, we don't want to just know about Christ, but we want to know Him and we want to know the power of the resurrection. He also says participation in His sufferings, which, you know, that I have to take a deep breath at that one. But we want to know the power of His resurrection and the power of everything that He's been through. And then it says, so that we can become like Him in His death and somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. And so much of that is just linked to knowing Jesus, not just about Him. I love digging into our Bibles and learning about God and learning, you know, what words mean and the context of things. But if we miss actually knowing Christ, knowing who He is, having that personal, intimate connection and conversation and experience with him, then I think we've missed out on the power of the resurrection. We're not getting to experience it in its fullness until we really know him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in this series quite a lot about there are things that are not for us to know, and there are things for us to know. And I think that, like, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, right there on day 18, we end the day by saying, there are things that are not for us to know. Like Paul says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am currently fully known. It's amazing to think, Amanda, like you were talking about, like the people who have gone before us, like they know fully.
They know fully.
They worship in, like, they are at home with the Lord. They know fully. That just is a place where I could really camp out for a long time, I think.
Yeah. To land not just this week, but this series and this reading plan called A Living Hope, where it's inspired by and informed in part by that passage that we've read each week now from 1 Peter 1. Verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And so we land this series and this week on the topic of our eternal victory.
Yeah.
That once and for all defeating of death, you know, the last enemy to be abolished, destroyed, is death.
That's right.
That is a reality, that is an already and a not yet in Jesus. And there's so much victory in these pages.
I mean, what are we reading is the question.
I know.
What are we not reading is maybe an easier question. Lori, what should we read from Friday of this week?
Well, I have a whole lot of highlighting that has gone on in this day. So it is definitely
highlight all the pages.
Hard to break it down. But, you know, I think this a verse that we've heard and maybe we hear at memorial services that we go to or we hear in sermons, it just hit me in light of the last days of reading that we've done was Revelation 21:4.
Yes, always.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Yes.
That just hit me in like a new way in light of everything we've been diving into. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. And then I love this next verse. Look, I am making everything new.
Yes.
That just struck me in a, just like a whole new way after swimming in all of this great content.
I think that, like, and tell me if I'm reading this wrong, but like we talked about this a little bit last week where it's not saying death won't happen anymore, crying won't happen anymore. It's saying death will be no more. Like it won't be something that exists. Or like we're saying, like, I'm making everything new, not like going forward, like all things will be new from the here on out, but like everything will be redeemed. Is that, am I reading that right? Or am I just like,
I mean, I think it's both. Like, I think that they won't happen anymore because they will be no more.
The line of demarcation of going like, no one will die ever again. We understand that. But the question is death undone?
It's not even a category
in reverse
anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's right.
I think that's what I'm hoping for. I think like, that's what I think that's how I read it. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And I mean, I would love to, as you said, Amanda, we're ending the day, ending the week, ending the series. Let's land it on 1 Corinthians 15, the very end of that chapter.
Yeah. And honestly, Rachel, I think this that I'm about to read answers your question.
Let's go. Read it for us.
So 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50. What I am saying, Paul's the best. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Like, flesh and blood, like, it's different. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Listen, I am telling you a mystery. This is why we can't understand all the things.
Yes, we see it in a mirror dimly.
Yeah. I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place.
There it is.
Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to Christ.
Just all the mic drops, Lori.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's beautiful.
Lori, thank you so much for this time. I love talking victory and resurrection any chance I get. And I'm grateful that we got to spend an hour just being three girls who are being shaped and changed and encouraged and buoyed by Scripture. So thank you so much for this time.
Well, thank you. And not only thank you for letting me be here with you and even diving into this week, but for always what you do. You mentioned earlier, like, the digital copy of this study. All of the ones that I have from you, I always do digitally because I love it. And so I throw it on my iPad and dig in with you guys regularly. And
I love
what you do and the way you encourage all of us, me included, to be digging into our Bibles. Thank you.
Okay, so now I'm curious. I love hearing this. Do you use a certain app? Do you use your iPad, your phone? Like, how do you view it?
I put it in Good Notes because then I can scribble all over it and I can write and highlight and move things and drop in text and all the photos. Like right now, I'm actually going through Exodus.
Exodus one, and I love that study.
Doing all my highlighting. I'm writing a new thing. And so I'm like all in Exodus right now. And Good Notes is like my saving grace. But that is how I interact with all of your studies and just love it.
I love hearing that. Thank you for telling me because I also have never heard of Good Notes. So now I'm like for sure going to
Good Notes will change your life.
That's amazing. I've always used Notability, but like, okay, now I'm like, I'm ready to convert. I'm excited.
Some competition.
I like it. All right. Well, friends listening, you know what I'm going to say. Go be women and men. I hear you out there, guys, in the Word of God every day this week. I hope that we've accomplished our goal here, which is to excite and inspire and equip you to be readers this week. Go do that and then come back. Next week, we've got a little surprise for you. Not going to tell you what it is. You'll have to come back and find out. But until next week, Lori, what do we tell our great friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.